Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions, including a great question from Teacher Stephanie, wishing you and all your cohorts a great school year. She's asking about views from over at Epcot for the fireworks, specifically from Rose and Crown and San Angel Inn. Can you really see the fireworks during dinner? Better suggestions. We'll talk about that today and much more. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at VirtualMickey.com. VirtualMickey.com offers great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now, like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone XS Max, and I can see that we're down to just 147 days until Marathon Weekend 2020. It's brutal out there. It's hot for that running. But before we know it, we'll be bundled up and headed down for January running at Walt Disney World. You can get excited for your next trip as well. You get to customize the colors, the font. You can get audio alerts every day. There's a little hidden feature to help you with your ADRs and fast passes. Great apps. Turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now over at VirtualMickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who supports the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Every purchase does help support the show, and you're going to get all those Prime benefits, so your stuff's still going to get there quickly and for free, if you're a Prime member, of course. Check it out today. Please use it often. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1524 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. It looks great. Drop by. I know I say that for the last, for a decade now, but it does look awesome, and it's a great place to grab the show. So again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your midweek is going well. Hopefully you're doing as well as the Geico Camel. And, you know, he's got his own trailer and all now lately. So hump day. Yeah, it's working out for him. And hopefully it's working out for you as well. Time for listener questions. We're going to answer some live here in the chat on Facebook. Go to the inbox for some others and have a good time talking Disney with you. So joining me today to answer those questions, the question answerer extraordinaire, Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
Well, I want to say, you know, we're talking about how hot it is. And I have to say, on Sunday, I did one of the hottest things ever. I actually helped out with Coasting for Kids, which is a Give Kids the World fundraiser. And I went and I met Steven, our good friend Steven from Give Kids the World. And I helped hand out credentials and T-shirts and everything like that for all those who would raise money for Give Kids the World. So awesome. Congratulations. But we were walking around the park around our Six Flags, and I was just like a sweating bullets. Like, it was so hot, and it was still morning. Like, it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh dear goodness, it's so warm. So yeah, the heat is on for sure.
we call that heat for a good cause.
Yes, it was definitely heat for a good cause. So, but it was a lot of fun and a lot of money was raised for Give Kids the World. So that's all that matters.
That is awesome. All right. Well, hey, we love helping out Give Kids the World. And again, stand by, the first 4-hour live show coming your way, probably in October. So we're getting ready for that date.
Yes. And for those of you who I've gotten a ton of things, auction items, and I know there's some emails that I have to answer. Hopefully by the time this goes out, I will have answered all of them. If you want to send anything for the auction, email BOGPauction@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to get you situated on where you need to send it and everything like that. But we've already got some great items that have come in already, so that's awesome. And I apologize if I haven't gotten back to you yet. I'm so sorry.
I saw some. I know we have a lot of Disney items to bid on, and also some Major League Baseball items.
We have a jersey, signed jersey, which is awesome. I've got I got some things in today, actually, from listener Jennifer, who sent a bell plush and a genie plush and a BOGP lizard shirt that she yes. she had that she was like, hey, I have an extra one. I will send it your way. So
can I give one of mine that I've worn for like 7 years?
No, auction? Yours is probably smelly. Yes, this
it,
one
trust
is
me,
not.
It is. Yeah, so. I mean, I'll autograph it and it'll smell like Mike.
I don't think anybody wants cents. That.
Yeah, nobody so, wants that. Yeah, no, that's true. They'll bid to not get it.
Yes.
All right, here we go. First question of the day comes from Stephanie. She's up in Boise, Idaho, where I've always wanted to go because, A, it looks beautiful on TV, and they have the blue carpet at their football stadium at the Broncos, so I got to get up there. Anyway, hey, BOGP crew, her title of her email is, can we really get a good view from dinner? I'm hoping that your experience and wisdom can help decide where to make my Epcot dining reservation. We'll be visiting Walt Disney World early next year, and I'd love to catch the cool new kite flying event evening show at Epcot. We've heard that both Rose and Crown and Hacienda de San Angel can provide good views of the evening show, but have never done this. I'd love a patio seat at Rose and Crown, but worry about not getting there in time to get a table that is available. I've also heard that Hacienda de San Angel can offer good views, but I've been inside there before and wonder about the trees and windows blocking the view. Also, since it'll still be winter when we go, it may be chilly in the evening. Do you have any experience with this? What are your thoughts?
Thank you for helping. Yes, we definitely have experience with that.
Yes. Thank you for helping this teacher's morning drive back to school get a little bit easier. You guys are the best, Stephanie, up in Boise. All right, so talk to her about what she can see from both Rose and Crown and Hacienda.
So I haven't actually, those are two places I've never seen the fireworks from. I have seen them from the Spice Road Table, which is in Morocco. You can also get a fireworks view from there. But from what I hear, the view from those two locations are fantastic. You'll be able to see pretty well. That they do actually do have a, for the Rose and Crown, they have a fireworks package right now. And I'm sure that will probably continue. Right now, it's just for illuminations, but I'm sure they'll keep offering it as time moves forward. But I would definitely, to make sure that if you wanted to make sure that you don't miss the fireworks, I would make sure I probably signed up for the Rose and Crown package there that way, because it is specifically for the fireworks versus instead of maybe hoping and wishing that you get a fireworks, view based off of where you're seated. I would absolutely ensure that I would have that. So that's kind of what I would do, is get the dinner package that they're offering. And it's a special one. Like I said, it's not just making a reservation. You have to go and make a special dining reservation for the Rose and Crown dining dinner package for the fireworks.
Yeah, which so. I've done. I've done the Rose and Crown fireworks dining package. When was that? Back in February, I think. Yes, we did it for Illuminations, and it is amazing. I mean, it's worth the money. And you get to prefix meal. You pick a couple items out of, you know, if it's not prefix, it's whatever. It's like you get to pick like this, this, and this. It's a set menu.
It's like set prefix. Yeah, like you have like to choose an appetizer, entree, and dessert, but you get to choose like from a selection of a couple of different things.
And alcohol's included, which is always good for teachers, especially in the winter. but La Hacienda, you know, the thing is, you're going to get a decent view, but I mean, the thing I think in those kind of restaurants is that it is going to be a secondary kind of thing. It's not going to be like you are there to see the fireworks. I mean, you might be able to see them and you might be able to see the kites and whatever the show brings us, but it won't be primary. You know, this the fireworks viewing at Rose and Crown as it stands right now, that's primary. You're right there on the water, boom. I mean, so I would go with Rose and Crown with that package if it continues, is what I would say.
Yeah.
All right, Mara has a question in the live chat. We're just speculating here. She says, still expecting crazy crowds for September for Hollywood Studios, even though the Star Wars date is now set for December. What are you thinking? I mean, August 29th is going to be here in 2 weeks, and we got AP previews that you're going this weekend.
I am.
There's lots going on. The land will be live. And, you know, what do we think in September? I know the bookings are pretty high from what I've, you know, obviously I do that every day. The resort's full.
Yeah, I think it won't be awful. I mean, I think the crowds will be up considering, you know, it is the new land. I think that people are interested who have booked their vacations. Maybe they didn't book them for Galaxy's Edge, which I think is what a lot of people were speculating people would do, but since they only had the one attraction, I feel like a lot of people pushed their trips off till next year, and a lot of people were trying to avoid a lot of the crowds, which I think is probably something they're not going to be doing now next year, because I feel like everybody pushed their trip off to next year. Yep. So I think you'll be okay. You might see a little bit higher crowds at Hollywood Studios, but I think the rest of the resort is going to be fine. But, you know, Hollywood Studios already has some crowding issues in general, just higher wait times. And I feel like you'll still see those higher wait times. But, you know, a lot of people will still be over in Galaxy's Edge. So I think you'll be okay. It's just you'll have probably, you know, not quite September, October wait times for, you know, Hollywood Studios. It'll be more like maybe summer. July. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
That's what I would say, too.
Yeah.
All right, Taylan's got a question live in the chat. She just can't call in. She's at work, but she wants to know if we've ever done or heard anything about the safari tours in Animal Kingdom. Thinking about booking an evening in September, but want to make sure it is worth the money. Thank you so much. I will say I've never done any of these tours. I don't think you have, Ricky, but, you know, when my guests get back, you know, the travel, I always ask them, you know, hey, I'm glad you had a good time. You know, what was a highlight? Folks that go down and do these tours at Animal Kingdom almost to a person rave about them, because obviously if you're going to book something at Animal Kingdom, it's usually going to be somebody who likes animals. You know, it's like it's right in your wheelhouse. And the folks that do this have told me many times that it is one of those things where you just can't have these kind of experiences back home unless you have a world-class zoo like we do in St. Louis, but you still don't get these kind of access to the animals. And the question I always ask is, what was the value? Did you feel you got good value in this tour? And almost every guest has enjoyed it, loved it, and would do it again and got a good value.
Yeah, I think that's key right there is did you get a good value? And I think people are getting good value. Excuse me. I have a cold, so I think a lot of people are getting good value out of these tours, no matter which one that they do. I've heard nothing but great things about all the tours that they have at Animal Kingdom, so I would say definitely sign up for one if you're interested in them. Yeah,
I say that too. All right, next questions, NBA experience and Morimoto Asia dilemma from Nicole. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, I'm a Canadian, and I love listening to the VR Guest podcast as I'm planning my Disney honeymoon in September. Congratulations.
Hey,
I do have a question I thought you guys might be able to help me out with. My fiance is a big NBA fan, so of course we'll be visiting the NBA experience in Disney Springs, which opened as the day we recorded the show. So it's been open for 2 days now. On the same day, we have dinner reservations for Morimoto Asia. As you can imagine, the appropriate attire for these two activities is quite different.
Yes.
We've heard there are no lockers in Disney Springs, so we're unsure what to do with our extra clothes and sneakers. We don't want to be lugging around a backpack all night, but we are staying at the Hard Rock and Universal during this portion of our stay. It doesn't seem close enough to warrant a trip back to the hotel in between. Do you have any advice? Thanks, Nicole. As I'm picturing this, I can picture somebody rolling into Morimoto Asia with like the you know, the basketball tank top, you know, like like an Orlando Magic jersey or something. No, I didn't think about that because it is kind of an active experience over the NBA experience, yet Morimoto Asia is like a formal dining. I mean, it's not Victoria and Albert's, but it is upscale. What would you do?
Yeah, you would want to dress up. I mean, yeah, you're not going to go back over to Hard Rock and change. There's no way. I don't even know if I was staying on Disney property, if I would go back and change. I would personally, I mean, I would probably bring a backpack. I know you said you didn't want to, but that's probably going to be your best option. And I would assume, obviously, that they would have bathrooms to change in and out of clothing at the NBA experience. You know, I don't know if they have, like, locker rooms, which would make the most sense.
Yeah, they should. I mean, seriously. Well, I mean, because there's so many, there's going to be a lot of people in that kind of situation. I wonder if they had to have thought about that.
But no, they didn't. Not. I can guarantee you they didn't think about that because we didn't think about it until the question got asked. I can guarantee you
that's
they didn't
interesting,
think about
though, because I mean, a lot of people are going to, I mean, you're going to combine, I mean, because people probably did nice dinners with Disney Quest, but I mean, Disney Quest, you weren't shooting bat, you know, shooting hoops.
Right. Well, you were riding along in bumper cars.
Yeah, but that's not as active. Yeah.
No. I assume you're probably going to have to change while you're there. And I know that's a pain, but that's going to be the best course of action because, yeah, you're not going to be able to wear the same clothes you wear at NBA experience.
Got to wear your Scottie Pippen jersey, your Bulls.
Yeah.
There you go. No. All right. They'll probably wear Raptors. They're from Canada. All right. Robin's got the next question here in the live chat. Hey, guys, I had Disney for Christmas and my 40th birthday, and it'll be my first time there during Christmas. I have two boys that'll be 13 and 9. What are your best tips and suggestions to tackle the parks and resorts during this busy season What are some holiday highlights that are must-dos? All right, I'm going to jump off on this one first, give you a chance. Now, Ricky is fighting a serious cold. She was
No, it's okay. Week, so, I'm so, all right. I'm surviving.
Make sure she can make it, okay? So yeah. I'm just going to throw a few things out there. A, you have to get there at rope drop during the busy times. This is just me speaking. You get so much done, even though half the earth is at Walt Disney World, maybe that week between Christmas and New Year's. It's crazy. If you get there early, you still get a ton done. It doesn't seem crowded until about 10 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, you're ahead of the people. That's where you throw your fast passes. 10, 11, 12, if you want to do them during the day so you can roll them the rest of the day. Good idea. Or you could have them where you're going to have dinner at night at a different park if you're hopping. Also, resorts. Take a break midday. You can go back to a resort and check out the decorations. Don't miss Fort Wilderness to see the campsites. They're awesome. Also Halloween, too. So those are my tips. Ricky, what else do you have?
Now, you say get up early, but she mentioned she had teenagers.
You know what? Suck it up, Buttercup. You got to get up early.
I know. And it's going to be super hard to convince them to get up early. But unfortunately, if you want to avoid a lot of the crowds, yeah, you're going to have to have them get up early, which I know stinks. But, you know, I've done the parks on Christmas Day. I have not focused on the attractions on those days. I have focused on more getting the entertainment experiences. So I've done the fireworks. You know, I definitely suggest making sure you check out Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam.
Bam.
And I love all of the stuff at Disney's Hollywood Studios that they have for all the Christmas entertainment. Around Epcot, you have all the World Showcase, storytellers, and they have all the food booths that have different things, that different holiday traditions that people have around the world. If you can maybe get a candlelight processional dinner package, I would absolutely do a dinner package for that day if you're going to be there any of those days for Christmas. And I say do more of the entertainment type offerings instead of focusing on the attractions for those busy days. Because if you focus at, like Mike said, make your fast passes, make sure you do that at the 60-day mark. If you're on site, and for those off site, 30s. But if you're on site, make sure you do it at the 60-day mark. Get the ones that are important to you at times that will work with your schedule. And then anything else you do is kind of gravy to me at that point, because you know you are there during one of the busiest times of the year, actually the busiest times of the year, and it's going to be insane. So just enjoy a lot of the entertainment. That's what has worked for me, and it's always been enjoyable. Like I said, I've done Christmas Day at the parks multiple times, and it's not been so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy busy, but the thing is, that's been some of my best ever trips. Like, you have the opportunity to do things you just don't get to do the rest of the year. And, like, I'm a Christmas nut. Like, I love putting the Christmas tree up and the lights, and I start playing the music early. Like, I can't get away from, I love Christmas. So going down there is like a dream. I mean, because it's Walt Disney World, but then it's Christmas on top of it.
Right.
The crowds, you know, the thing is, I think we're lucky because we get to go quite often, where if I don't get to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or Flight of Passage or Space Mountain, you know, seven times, that's okay. Like you said, I'll go see the shows. I'll listen to the background loops. I'll see the gingerbread house over at the Grand Floridian, stuff like that. And I'm in heaven. Like, I love it, you know, and those things, the crowds don't really affect a lot of those secondary things. You know, and see Carousel Progress, see the Tiki Birds, you know, see as an opportunity to see things maybe you don't see when it's not as crowded. You're always focused on e-ticket stuff.
Absolutely. 100%.
All right. Next question. We're going to go to the inbox here. Seven Dwarfs Merchandise, Doc. Good evening, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I hope you all had a great weekend. I'm traveling to the world next month and was wanting some Disney merchandise aid. I'm hoping y'all could point me in the right direction. This will be you because I'm terrible at buying stuff.
Okay.
I have two great friends that are becoming grandparents, and they are being called Doc and Bunny. I want to get them a souvenir that corresponds to their new grandparent names. That's interesting.
That's awesome.
I know I can find a bunny, but I'm struggling to think of where, if ever, I have seen a Doc. Can y'all think of any store in a resort or park where I might track down a Doc? Lauren is down in Dallas, Texas. Good question.
Ooh,
there's got to be a Doc somewhere, isn't there? I mean, come on.
If you are looking for a Doc, the place that I assume you might find one would be like the World of Disney. You know, with all the plush that they have there, that would be something I might consider. Maybe the Emporium. And the best thing I would suggest doing is asking a cast member, because they are going to be able to help you locate what you're looking for so much easier than you just wandering the store everywhere. So definitely make sure you ask a cast member and say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Do you have anything? And they'll be able to guide you in the right direction for sure.
You know, and this one that I wanted to put out there, because like throughout the week, we can help put this on the Facebook page, or shoot me an email or something if you can. Don't shoot me an email. Put it on the Facebook page. That way everybody can kind of feed off of it. But I would say you could easily get a pin. There's probably a bajillion pins with Doc on them. I mean, at the minimum, you could probably pick that up at a pin shop.
I don't know if they were looking for like plush.
Yeah, like a plush, or like maybe a little statue, or like a mug maybe. I bet you there's mugs that have Doc on them maybe.
I'm sure they have they have these little kid play sets that I think I've seen them that are like, I think they're supposed to be like bath toys or something like that, but they're usually like the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs characters. Then they have a bunch of like various things like that. I think I've seen them at the Disney store actually here too. So that might be something to consider, unless you're looking for a plush. And then, like I said, if you're looking specifically for a plush thing, then I would definitely ask at the World of Disney and they might be able to assist you better.
All right. Next question is coming from Betsy. If you had to only go to Epcot or the studios the week before Christmas, which would you do? She's also going to the Magic Kingdom for the party. So you only get to pick Epcot or the studios the week before Christmas. Here's me. I can't believe it. The studios. The studios is so cool looking at Christmas now. It's retro Christmas. It's mid-century Christmas. It's got Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. It's got great decorations, music. God, I can't believe I'm saying that, but I love the studios at Christmas.
No, you know what? I was going to suggest the same thing. And because that retro feel is so fantastic that they do. I think that they've done a great job. They have the Sunset Season Showcase, which is on the Tower of Terror as well. So you get two shows for the price of one, basically, at Hollywood Studios. Plus, this year, you're going to have Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and you're going to have Rise of the Resistance, which opens a couple of days before that. So I would absolutely go to Hollywood Studios over Epcot if that's what you're looking for. Now, normally I might say Epcot because they do a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, I think I'm going to agree and say Hollywood Studios.
Yep. But you can't go wrong with either. So there you go.
No, right. No, definitely not.
Melissa in the live chat's got a question. Hey, guys, planning to book our bounce back offer when we go down at the end of September. Looking to do an adults only, gasp, she says, anniversary trip September of 2020. Would you stay at Coronado Springs or Pop? Leaning towards staying at Pop and putting the extra money towards things like Keys to the Kingdom Tour and other special things we can't do with our four kiddos. Wow, four kiddos. You're definitely going to save money. But I know Coronado Springs would feel a little nicer for our anniversary trip. All right, let me give some travel aid. Let me throw some TA advice.
Throw travel agent knowledge down. Yes.
You know, I didn't get a master's degree in travel for nothing, which I didn't. I have it in elementary education, so let me educate you elementarily. Okay, here we go. And that really sounds like I have a master's degree there.
Yeah, it does. Doesn't
definitely
it? Yeah.
Don't have a degree in broadcasting.
Right here has a master's degree in something.
Something is exactly right. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. I was gifted a mic and a computer, and here I am. Bam, doing a podcast. So I would go the other way. I go Coronado Springs, and here is why. Right now, again, this is we only know what we know right now. And the bounce back offer is for certain dates. There's like four windows in 2020 at this point. And it's a bounce back free dining actually right now, tiered. So what I would say is, man, you are not going to pay that much more to stay at Coronado. Pop Century is kind of creeping up there to be a moderate price in 2020. There are dates in the spring that Pop Century is starting at $230 a night pre-tax, which is basically moderate pricing. You can get Coronado Springs standard room outside of the tower for about that same price. Coronado is nicer. Now, here's the debate that you're going to have. This is my internal debate because I'm staying at Pop Century for Marathon Weekend, and I love Coronado. I want to ride the Skyliner, but the Coronado doesn't have the Skyliner. Now, if Coronado had the Skyliner, it'd be awesome. The tower, Coronado is a great resort, and it's got more going on than Pop Century. It's more deluxe. It is. I mean, it's a nicer place. Pop Century is fun, but it's got the Skyliner. So I got this internal battle, which one would I do? And I pick Pop because of Skyliner, but I love the dining and the pool over at Coronado. I love the location. But really, I mean, especially if it's an adults-only anniversary trip, I'd go Coronado because you're probably not going to stay that much more, especially if you stay outside the tower. What do you say? Okay, that was my TA speech. There you go.
That was TA speech. Okay. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say compare the pricing. Like you said, if it's not that much more, then maybe stay at Coronado. If it is a significant discount, then I would stay at Pop Century and I would do some of the things that they were talking about of, you know, they want to do Keys of the Kingdom. They want to do, which is a great tour. You know, those special things that they don't get to do. If it's significant savings, then I would absolutely, I mean, Brian and I stay at Pop Century all the time. So like there's no problem staying there. It's just for us, it's just a bed to sleep in. So, you know, I mean, either way, I think you're going to be fine, but I would truthfully stay at Pop Century if there was a big savings. Now, again, if there's not a huge savings, then maybe go to Coronado, but huge savings, I would say Pop Century.
No, if it's huge savings. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying right now, Pop Century, I'm just looking at the like prices looking now. Man, like non-discounted 2020 right now, Pop Century and Coronado are coming in really close. Like where Coronado is worth it.
If they're saying that they think it would be much cheaper staying at Pop Century and that way they get to do some of those things. Well, if it's not, and it's about the same, then they may still not be able to do some of those things anyway. So if they can't do those things because the price is the same, then I would say Coronado. So,
And if I had a soundboard loaded up with sound effects, I'd be giving you the sad trombone right now. Because Melissa says the Skyliner's killing her because they check out of Caribbean Beach on September 28th. Maybe a soft opening.
Maybe. Who knows?
Let's pray.
Yeah.
All right. Eric's got a question. It says fast pass paralysis.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm writing this from Rochester, New York, 1,238 miles from Walt Disney World, and I'll be heading to the park on November 5th. It's our family's first trip, and we'll be staying for 8 nights. I find you guys when I book the vacation, and you are a huge help planning our itinerary and making dining reservations. Now it's getting close to FastPass time, and I've got a few questions. I've never been to Walt Disney World, so I don't have a good strategy for making the initial FastPass reservations ahead of time. My kids are 8, a girl, and 5, a boy. Neither kid is a big fan of roller coasters, but I'm hoping to get them on some of the tamer ones, Slinky Dog or Seven Dwarves. Our first full park day, which is going to be November 6th, we have a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reservation at 9:30 and Pirates League at 9:50, so they will hopefully finish up around the same time, a little before 11. Then we have lunch at Be Our Guest at 12:30. I was thinking of using a fast pass to meet Ariel at 11:30. Does that timing work? Okay, so let's stop there because I got a couple other questions. Okay. First time guest. So he's really, I like that he's being proactive and you're going to have a great time. So the title fast pass paralysis, I feel your pain because I can't imagine going into this, something like with a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reservation, a Pirates League reservation, a Be Our Guest reservation.
You're doing awesome.
Holy
so far.
God. Yeah, I'm saying like, dude, you get an A and a star already. Cause I mean, I've done this 1,000 times and it like stresses me out and you're going into it blind right now. Kind of. So
exactly.
Yeah, so 11:30, can they go see Ariel and still make, they'll be fine at Be Our Guest at 12:30. Right. I mean, I wouldn't see a problem with that at all.
If it's at 11:30?
Yeah, it's perfect because the kids will be done by 11 and then they can walk right over to meet Ariel at 11:30 and it won't take an hour with the fast pass. Boom.
I would make the fast pass for like 11, like between 11:10 and, 12:10. That way you make sure that you get, that way you have a little bit of buffer in between there and you don't make it for 11:30. That's kind of what I'm saying is, I would make it a little earlier. So that way, if you can walk over there faster.
Well, I mean, it's next door, though, to Be Our Guest. I mean, it's not going to take an hour to do it.
No. I meant from getting finished up from doing the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and the Pirates League.
Oh, he thinks they'll be done by 11, so they'll have plenty of time. I'd say 11:30, though. It gives them a 30-minute buffer.
To make the fast pass for?
Yeah. If they're done at 11? No, they have. No, the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique stuff starts at 9 o'clock, like 9:30 and 9:50. They're going to be done by 11.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would make the fast pass for 11. And then maybe they'd be able to do something else like
try to squeeze some things in
afterwards or something like that. Like I wouldn't make it for 11:30. And plus if there was something that happened like a delay or something like that, then they'd be late to their reservation. So I would make it for cuz I've had fast passes before and been delayed for, a good 5, 10, 15 minutes, even though I had a fast pass, especially at meet and greets, because that's where they take their time with you. So, and I remember Pam and I had a, like, ridiculously long meet and greet with Mickey and Minnie, and like it was awesome, don't get me wrong, but like that meet and greet went on for like 10 minutes, so I'm just saying I would make it for lunch. A little longer.
Come on, Mickey, I'm eating. All right, so here's the other questions. Also, right. This is a surprise for our kids. They don't have any other rides that are must-dos, and we'll figure it out while we're there. So what should we use our other fast passes on? We're doing one park day at Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and then open day. Does this make sense to use a fast pass for Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios if they are at the end of the trip, or should I make them for the early days so that I can start using the rolling fast passes? Okay, so first of all, you're going to get 3 a day, and so in each park. So just, you know, my best advice, I used to save them till the end, to the park. Like if I was park hopping, I'd use them for the second half of the day. But I've become a fan of using them mid-morning, going early, ride a bunch of stuff. When the crowds get there, boom, 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 use those three at like 10, 11, 12. Get out of there if you're going to leave and relax, and then use rolling fast passes in the evening. You're not going to get highlight. You're not going to get, you know, like tier one attractions or e-ticket attractions in the evenings on the rolling ones. But I mean, it's your first time. You get to do all kinds of stuff. You can do some secondary stuff. So that's what I would do. And just do that for all the parks. And he says, lastly, our flight arrives at MCO on November 5th at 1 o'clock. And we have dinner the first night at Kona at 7:30. And then they're going to watch the fireworks from the beach. Do we have enough time to get to the hotel, get checked in, and have a couple of hours at the Magic Kingdom before going to the Poly? Or are we trying to fit too much in on the first day? Thanks. I appreciate any help, Eric. So what do you think about that? Landing at 1 o'clock, MCO, 7:30 dinner at Kona. They have plenty of time to get to Kona. That's no worries. Checked in, everywhere, you know, wherever you're staying, all that. They could probably get over to the Magic Kingdom and maybe do a couple of attractions, at least get pictures in front of the castle, get, you know, kick the trip off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they'll be fine. Yeah. I think time-wise, they'll be great. I would head into the Magic Kingdom.
And I think it's got a great strategy. I mean, the thing is, you got to remember, it's gravy. And when you don't have fast passes, and here's the thing, the ages of your kids, I know this is going to sound crazy, they're going to love things like Carousel of Progress. They're going to love things like Tiki Birds. And you may not think so. They're going to like Jungle Cruise. I'm just telling you, from when my two kids were that age, they love that kind of stuff. So don't just say it has to be Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Flight of Passage, you know, Soarin', Frozen Ever After. Name your e-ticket attractions. They're going to like the secondary stuff too. It's going to be all new to them, and it's very unique, you know, shows like that. So, All right, next question from Jacob. It's like Christmas in August. More Christmas questions. Is the Jingle Bell Jingle Bam dessert party coming back this year? What do you think, Ricky? Is it? Do we know?
I mean, I would assume that it was. Yeah, it's just the thing with the, and I know it freaks everybody out. The thing with dessert parties is that a lot of times Disney does not announce the dessert party information until like maybe 2 months before, you know, the actual event. So it freaks everybody out because they think, oh my gosh, they're not going to be offering it. But more than likely they are. They just are a little delayed in offering those kind of things. It's the same thing with the early morning magic and the Disney After Hours events. They just don't load those things in until about, oh, you know, 2 months or so before your trip, which, like I said, is unfortunate. But especially since they have us trained at, you know, 180 days.
It's 6 months.
And it's a dining event, right? So it should be out for, you know, they should all be offering this. But no, they don't. Sorry. It's just kind of how it works.
And Crystal does have the comment that we both missed from the previous question. And she says, I don't think you're going to get your kids out of the Magic Kingdom for your Kona reservation on that first
day.
That's
a valid point, yeah.
I don't want to go to dinner. I don't want to go over there and just sit down and eat. But you are going to see the fireworks on the beach. So you just got to bribe them. That's how I've lived my life.
Yep.
That's how you parent. Okay, Mary's got a question. Hey, BOG, just got my Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Oga's reservation for the last day of XXMH.
Extra magic hours. Extra magic hours.
See, too many acronyms.
Yes.
That's a new one. XXMH.
That is a new one.
Because it's actually
okay.
EEMH is in my world, but XX works too. Okay. So just, this is all new universe we're going into.
Yes,
here.
Literally, it's a Star Wars universe. No, I'm just joking. That's not part of the Star Wars universe. Never mind. Bad joke.
They weren't hard to get at all. I got multiple days for Ogas and for Savi and droids, too. Makes me wonder how crazy it's really going to be. Wondering what you're hearing. Sounds like it was harder to get into the AP previews. All right, so Mary, let me give you some feedback. I've had three guests email me saying they had excess reservations either to make a lightsaber or to make a droid or to get into Ogas, like asking if anybody needs them. So I think they opened up a lot of these to keep people happy. I think that they're not expecting 100% of the people to show up either. So I think they've kind of like the airlines overbooked. That's my guess. Yeah.
I think so. And I know a lot of people had trouble, especially like the first day that it opened, with people saying, oh, there's not enough reservations. And so then that created mass panic, because everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's going to be sold out. I'm going to have to get my reservation. But I think as time goes on, and people start figuring out what they're doing actually for their vacation, you know, they may have been like you and booked multiple days for multiple options like that. Once they figure out their days, though, they're going to start dropping those options and then they're going to become available, much like any regular dining reservation or any other reservation like that. So I think we're going to see them open up here if they haven't already. And, you know, I think that it's just one of those things where, you know, It was harder to get into the AP preview, possibly. I mean, we'll know more on the 29th. But the AP preview, I mean, there were only a certain select amount of people who were able to get into it. And you only had a certain number of days that you could get into it as well. So when you only have like 4 or 5 days that you can get into a preview, then yeah, it's going to be a lot harder to get into. But, you know, you've got, what, a few months worth of reservations that opened up for Oga's Cantina, the lightsaber building, and the droid building. It's going to be a lot easier to get a reservation for something like that than a 4-day, 5-day time window. So I think that's why you saw more mass panic with the, you know, people not being able to get reservations for the new pass preview is because it was literally like 5 days. So
here's the thing I'm thinking about those too. Okay. So especially like the droid and the lightsaber. Okay. Like you get caught up in the hype at home, you know, say a couple months before you go down, you know, like, oh man, I got it. I'm going to get to make a lightsaber and I'm going to get to make a droid. But I mean, these are like pricey items. Like, yeah. I would make the reservation, no problem, be excited about it for months. But I'm kind of a person that sometimes gets a little buyer's remorse. You know, and I'm scared that I would get that before I go down there saying, can I really afford to spend $200 on a lightsaber? You know, like right before holiday. You know,
if I'm going down like right before Christmas. Do I really want to spend $200?
I mean, you know, same going like in early December. You know, like, you know, right. I mean, I know all the hype with Rise of Resistance will be happening, but I mean, you know, you got to buy gifts for your family and you got a lot going on at the end of the year. I think a lot of people are going to, you know, get caught up in it, get the reservation, but I don't know how many people are going to, you know, put their money where their mouth is when it's time to walk in the door. I don't know.
That's true. I agreed. And I've always said that the lightsaber thing being $200 is super expensive. And how many lightsabers are people going to need?
You don't need any. I mean, seriously, unless you are a Jedi.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But once you have one, are you going to need two or three or whatever? I mean, I don't really see that need being as big, nor do I see the same thing with the droids. I mean, once you have, you know, maybe you have two. Once you have an R2 unit or, you know, whatever, and a BB unit, I mean, okay, now you got two. So, I mean, they're not making more right now. So unless they throw out a third droid option, which I don't think there are any other droid options, right? Or unless I don't know. I'm sure they'll have them
because there'll be a new movie in December.
I mean, they probably have another droid in that. But I'm just saying, you know, once you have your two droids, if you're really looking at maximizing all your Star Wars stuff and your one lightsaber that, you know, I don't really see you getting, I think I don't see the repeatability of buying a new one, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So
It just depends how, you know, it's like anything. The fans that are huge fans will buy a lot and the fans who aren't will pass. And some people just get it for the novelty. I will say I've been getting this email a lot too. And I was telling one of my guests that we were cracking up via email about this, that I never thought when I was 10 and I never thought when I became a travel agent like 9 years ago that I'd be answering this email as often as I do. Yes, you can take a lightsaber on the airplane. Yes,
you can.
TSA says yes, you can check it. You can carry it on either way. So yes.
I bet TSA never thought they'd have to answer that question. Like,
it's so funny. I mean, like, yes, you can carry on the lightsaber. Just to say it out loud just sounds nuts. Anyway. All right, last question of the day is coming from Daryl. Hey, Mike, BOGP crew, my wife and I are heading to the world this September, and it'll be our first time staying in the Disney bubble. We're going to love it. We're super excited to try out the new rooms at Pop Century, but have only recently realized there's no on-site gym. That's right. Do you have any ideas on good running routes around Pop Century or other ideas on how to get some exercise in before we eat our way through Food and Wine and Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party? P.S. I can't swim, so pools are out of the equation. Thanks, Daryl and Connie. They're up in Toronto, Canada. Speaking of the Raptors, There they are. You know what? I'll tell you what. I do the same thing, man. I eat like a pig when I'm down at Walt Disney World. And I try to justify it by running a bajillion miles every morning so that I can like eat without sweating it too much. And Pop Century is one of the best places to run. It's got Hourglass Lake. You can run around there. It's a very nice wide path. You'll see lots of other runners out there. It's right outside your door at Pop Century. You get to run over to Art of Animation around Hourglass Lake. You'll be able to watch. It sounds like they'll be there before the gondolas, but I bet you they'll be testing. And so you'll be able to maybe see the gondolas going back and forth. That'll be kind of interesting to watch. And the lap is not huge. It's probably about a half a mile around. So you just got to do a lot of loops, but it's pretty and it's a good place to run. So, but I mean, really, there's no on-site gym at the Value, so that's probably your best bet. I don't know what else you could do, Ricky, anything besides swimming, and he doesn't swim. So,
yeah, no, that's about the only thing you can do is run. So
it's a good place to run, though. It's a great place to run, though. I've stayed there just to run. I do like it. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for the great questions. Join us on Mondays around 5:45 Eastern. We get together with all of our friends.
Hey, you got it right this time,
Mike. I did.
Yeah.
And we love having the live chat here. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you so much and all the comments and questions. Of course, you can email the questions to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get those on the air as well. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com. We have great iPhone apps over there to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now, including Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading instead of the cereal box this week?
Well, we are reading about all kinds of desserts, let me tell you right now. So first things first, Disney Springs is adding a couple of new churro carts called Sunshine Churros.
Boom.
They're going to be on the Marketplace and the West Side. You're going to get flavors like watermelon, salted caramel, strawberry cheesecake, fruity cereal, and cookies and cream. The thing that I am most excited about, though, is the cookie dough and everything sweet food truck. And I'm so excited. I love edible cookie dough.
So. So good. I've been eating that since I was 8. You know, it's a wonder.
Oh, my gosh.
Alive.
Yeah, the non-edible kind. Yeah, well, it's edible, but, you know, you get salmonella. It's fine.
No, I made it. I mean, I you know what? For cookie dough, I'll take that chance.
Yes, exactly. So they have the Springs Candy Taco, the Minnie Mouse Taco, the Celebration Parfait, the Mickey or Minnie Funnel Cake, or the Cookie Dough Cup or Cone. I am all in on this. Trust me, this is totally happening. And then the last one, and this is the one Mike's probably the most excited about, Ample Hills is coming to Disney Springs.
The only thing I would be better is if Ample Hills came to Mid Rivers Mall Drive.
I know. You can't have everything, Mike. So Ample Hills is coming to the west side of Disney Springs, and they're going to offer all their delicious goodness. So make sure you get that gooey butter cake. It's so yummy. So anyway, that's what you're reading about. Lots and lots of desserts. So yay. I'm so excited. Because you know what? I feel like that's something that's kind of missing at Disney Springs is the dessert option. Like, you had Ghirardelli, and you had like the confectionaries and stuff like that.
Amaretts.
But like, there was no like place to stop and get dessert. Yeah. You know, you've got Amaretts, but yeah, Amaretts is,
that's like a cake place. I mean, yeah, you're not.
Yeah, they're
like
really fancy desserts, and I sometimes I don't need a really fancy dessert. I just want some cookie dough that I can eat out of a cone. So
that's true. I mean, people that Ample Hill is gonna be just crazy crowded. I mean, nuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so hard to get to at the boardwalk. So
yeah, I don't care.
The fact that they're adding it, I mean, we do it all the time.
I stay at Boardwalk just to eat there. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm going to be there all the time. Like, it's going to be ridiculous. So, thanks.
I love
some Ample Hills. Thanks for making me fat. Yay!
We do have a place by the new house called Silky's. Not bad. Not bad. Anyway.
There's a few places here, but I still don't love them as much as I love Miss Doozle's back home. So yeah,
my grandma worked there when it was Burgeon's. Anyway, that's Theme Park News Disney Edition. Free your iOS app. Grab it today, virtualmickey.com. Use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please do use that often. It does help support the show, even if you're just buying toilet paper or paper towels or what have you. Those little things do add up. So bookmark it on your devices, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge thank you to everybody who continues to use that link. Give us a follow on the social. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We're going to put a call out this week for iTunes reviews and any device that you or any app that you use to listen to the show. I know that there's reviews on Stitcher as well. If you don't mind, we've been doing this for over 11 years. Sometimes these reviews and ratings do expire. So if you couldn't, if you don't mind and you listen to the shows and you enjoy them, put a few words on Apple or, you know, iTunes or over on Stitcher and give us a rating and a review. We'd sure appreciate that because it does help us keep us up there in the rankings. So thank you to everybody who's done that. And thank you to everybody who's going to do that this week. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday with some fun Disney talk. I can't wait for that one as well. So until then, you all have a great Wednesday. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.